Take your Bible and go with me, please, to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. I'd like to start reading in verse number 1. And I appreciate this opportunity. It's good to see there's some Baptists alive at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's amazing. A miracle. But it is a worthy morning. We honor the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The reality is we do this every Sunday morning. We recognize the fact that He emptied the tomb and is sitting on a throne in heaven above. And we're very thankful for that this morning. I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter number 28, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And verse number 8 says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." One of the greatest truths recorded in the Word of God is found here in verse number 6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And you know something, religions all around this world have their saviors, little s, they have their redeemers. And all of them can be found in a tomb. You can file by the tomb of all the leaders of all the false religions of the world. But there's one tomb that if you go visit, you'll find out it's empty. And that's the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not stay in the tomb, and we praise His name for that, that He's both alive and well this morning. And I like how the hymn writer put it. The hymn writer said, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." And I'm glad to know that He does. I pray that He does in yours as well. But there's a phrase here that got my attention, and I want to look at it this morning in the very first verse, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1. Look at this statement here, "In the end of the Sabbath." In the end of the Sabbath. And I want to preach with the help of the Lord this morning on that subject of the end of the Sabbath. We'll bow and have a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help this morning and ask that He would do what only He can for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to bow our heads and pray. We thank You for Your rich mercy. We thank You for the blood that was shed on our behalf. Thank You, Lord, for going to Calvary and dying in our place. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, and thank You for Your love. But Lord, we thank You that the cross was not the end. We thank You, Lord, that You arose on that third morning. You live, and we're grateful this morning, and we worship You and praise You that we do serve a risen Savior. And Father, we pray that You'd help us now as we get in Your Word. May the Spirit of God speak. Lord, hide me behind the cross and help me to rightly lift up the Lord Jesus, who alone is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And Father, we'll thank You for all that You do. Speak to our hearts. Draw us close to Yourself. And we'll praise You for it. For we pray now in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I want you to notice that phrase. Sometimes we read the Bible. And I said we. Sometimes we read the Bible. And we read through things. And we don't just stop and say, well, I wonder what that means. I wonder if there's more to it than just what I'm reading. And this is one of those places. When we read through here, if we're not careful, we'll miss a very vital truth. the Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, now watch this, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now that phrase, in the end of the Sabbath, is not describing a time, but it's describing a truth. The time is as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, about the time that it is right now. It's beginning to lighten up. Dawn is very near, the rising of the sun. But the truth is, it was the end of the Sabbath. I want you to keep in mind that the Jewish Sabbath ended and the Jewish day ended at sunset. So the Sabbath had ended many hours previous. The Sabbath of that day had ended. But what's being taught here, and I want to just look at it for a few minutes, because Matthew and Mark both say the same thing when they describe the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They make this statement, in the end of the Sabbath. Now remember, we've got to think like the Jewish mindset, because the Sabbath was literally the capstone of their religion. It was everything their religion stood for revolved around the Sabbath. Now God initiated the Sabbath. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that the Lord rested on the seventh day, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Under the law, the Sabbath was that day that was dedicated to God. It was a day holy unto the Lord. It was that one day in the calendar of 7 days that was to be given over to our Lord. And you know something, in the New Testament, we don't worship on the Sabbath or the Saturday, but we do worship on the first day of the week, and we're awful wise and mighty obedient to Scripture when we give that day to the Lord, because it is the Lord's day. Some of you are old enough to remember when Sunday was the Lord's day. It wasn't fun day, it was Sunday, it was the Lord's day, and it belonged to Him. But under the law, that Sabbath was the day that was committed to God. Now, man, by the time Jesus came to this earth, was born in Bethlehem's manger, that day had been polluted by man. Man's religion had made that day a miserable day. That day had become a day of bondage. That day had become a day of so many rules that it was almost impossible to function on the Sabbath day without breaking somebody's rules. That Sabbath day represented everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to enforce upon the people. But it also represented everything that the Lord Jesus opposed when He was on this earth. There are two times in His ministry that He got in trouble with the religious elite when He broke the Sabbath according to their rules. One occasion, as His disciples made their way through a field, in Mark chapter number 2, it's recorded that they took the corn and they began to eat it with and they picked it and they ate it. And in the eyes of the religious elite, they were working on the Sabbath day. And so these Pharisees came down hard on the Lord Jesus and said, "Your disciples, your followers, they transgress. They're breaking the laws of the Sabbath." Now the reality is they were breaking the laws of men, not the law of God. And so, again, just stay with me. This is one of those airplane messages. We're taxiing down the runway. And we'll get off the ground here in just a minute. But let me just remind you that Jesus opposed this perversion of the Sabbath as it was represented in His day. This Sabbath again represented the man-made religion that the Jews had created, that they had propagated, what people were in bondage to. And then the Lord Jesus, of all things, in Luke chapter 13, would heal the woman with an issue of blood on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees had the audacity to say, "You have 6 days to work. Why would you heal a woman on the Sabbath day? Would you heal her of that issue of blood?" Why would you do such a thing on the Sabbath? And they were irate that he would not observe their man-made religion and not follow their way. But I want you to see this here again. The Bible says when Jesus arose in the end of the Sabbath. Now the Jews called the ending of their holy days the going out of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was going out. It was passing off of the scene. One old writer said that old man Sabbath limps off as the Lord Jesus rose from the grave. That religion that represented what man had created to appease God is now all of a sudden emphatically ended by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put an end to all of that. He put a period at the end of the Sabbath. He said there's going to be no more need for dead religion. And I want you to see what the end of the Sabbath really means. Number one, it means that it is the end of religion. The end of man-made religion. You see, that Sabbath, as I've mentioned, already represented what man created. What man come up with in his mind. What man tried to foster and man tried to create. And by the way, men are still trying to appease a holy God. We have religion. We have Baptist religion, just like we've got every other kind of religion. You see, religion is defined as man attempting to do something to become acceptable unto God. I'm glad the gospel is not go do. The gospel is it's done. It's finished. When the Lord Jesus hung His head and gave up the ghost on Calvary's hill, He did not say it's almost finished, it's almost complete. He said it is finished. And He hung His head and gave up the ghost. What was finished? And I like this. He didn't say I am finished. He said it is finished. Because on resurrection morning, He let us know He's alive and well. And He overcame the grave. Boy, I'm glad this morning that what I have is not dead religion. You know what dead religion will do for you? Dead religion will damn your soul. Dead religion will destroy your family. Dead religion will not deliver you from sin. The only thing that will deliver you is a Lord who got up out of the grave, who's alive and able and mighty and powerful and saves to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. So we see here the end of the Sabbath brought the end of dead religion. The Lord Jesus, when He got up out of the grave. You know, you think about this. All dead religion does is dig the grave deeper. Romans chapter 4. Let me read that text over here. And in verses 4 and 5, the Bible tells us what dead religion will do for us. Romans chapter number 4. The Bible says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." You know, the more you try to work for it, the deeper in debt you go. The more you try to work, I mean, the more you try to appease God, the more you try to please God in your flesh, the more you try to make things, you know, better, the more you try to fix yourself, the more you try to do all those things, the more you try, the deeper in debt you go, the greater the load of sin, the higher the condemnation rises. But I'm glad to report to you this morning that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's in the Lord Jesus we get delivered from the condemnation of sin. Boy, dead religion found its death blow when Jesus Christ got up out of the grave. Here they tried all those years making their rules. They tell me that there were books upon books written concerning the laws of God. And they would say that men could do certain things like only travel so far on the Sabbath day. But they made rules so that you could take a garment or something that belonged to you and place it at a certain point and you could travel that much further away from it. And it was just man's confusion and man's conglomeration. One thing I love about the gospel is that it's blessedly simple. Paul warned the Corinthian believers about being moved from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, it can't be that simple. Beloved, it is that simple. It's as simple as Jesus Christ died for sin according to the Scripture, and He was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. And you say that's all it takes to get to heaven? Listen, beloved, that's exactly what it takes. The Lord Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay some and you've got to pay a little. Beloved, He paid every bit of the sin debt. This morning, if you're going to heaven, you're not going because you've done something, because you're doing something, or because you aim to do it down the road. If you're going to heaven this morning, you're going on the merit of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. And boy, listen, what a joy it is to know that I'm redeemed, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The end of the Sabbath brought an end to dead religion. There's something else I want you to notice here. It also brought an end to ritualistic worship. You remember these Jews, they were very ritualistic in their worship. Their holy place was the temple. That was the place that was designated as the place of worship. This is where they carried out their sacrifices. This is where they went through their ceremonies. This is where they carried out their religious rituals. Many of these had been ordained earlier by our very Lord in the law of God. Many of these had been established, but they had added to it. They had further complicated and made it corrupt and caused it to be literally, Jesus said, you've made my house, my Father's house, a den of thieves. You've turned it into a racket where money's made. You have made it a place where people are taken advantage of and corruption is prospered and propagated within its walls. He said, you've corrupted this thing. You remember on occasion the Lord Jesus made a whip. You know, the Lord Jesus that's preached today is oftentimes effeminate and sissy. But the real Lord Jesus was not effeminate nor sissy. I'll tell you, when He made that thread and He made that whip, if you will, and buddy, He began to turn the tables over of the money changers and drove those crooked birds out of the temple, there was nothing weak about Him then. I'll tell you, my friend, He was saying, listen, this house is to be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. But you've made it. He said, you've made it a den of thieves. They had taken this worship and made it ritualistic, and they had literally robbed it of its significance and its truth. I remind you what the Lord Jesus said to a woman who said, well, your fathers say you're to worship in Jerusalem, and our fathers say we're to worship in this mountain. And the Lord Jesus would say to her, listen, the hour's coming and now is when you'll not worship there nor here, but those that worship God will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, there's going to come a time when worship's not about a place, but it's about a person. When worship's not going to be fixed on rituals, but in the reality of the risen, living Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, my friend, the end of the Sabbath brought the end of ritualistic worship. Worship's not about lighting candles or sitting in a church. Worship's about being right with God, walking into the presence of a Lord who's alive and praising Him for what He's done. Why, you can worship Him anywhere. I tell our church family, and God forbid, I pray it never happens, but if Maranatha Baptist Church burns to the ground, that building on 3141 Old Elk Neck Road, if that thing's taken off this planet, the church body can still worship, because worship is not about a place, it's about a person. Listen, beloved, you can worship in the car driving down the road. You can worship. I thought of this morning because of the time we had to get up. But one of the most joyful times I've ever had worship was in the barn milking cows. We milked at 2:30 every morning. We had a little bitty barn and a whole lot of cows. So we had to start early to get it done. And I remember about 3 o'clock being in the barn by myself, and I was milking, listening to the hum of that pulsating milker. as those cows were eating, and I was just waiting on them to get done, and I was singing a song. Now, I'm glad, boy. You be glad that I don't sing. But I was singing a song about my Lord, and my Lord met with me in that barn. Of all the places, and it got so real and rich in that barn that I began to want. Listen, these cows look like they're praising the Lord. Seem like with every swish of the tail, they're saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And the pulse of those milkers just seemed to be saying, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Listen, worship's not about a place. It's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're Baptist, and I'll tell you what, I'm Baptist by conviction. The Word of God made me a Baptist. But you know something, sometimes we've got Baptist rituals. Our worship gets awful ritualistic. If you don't believe that, change the order of service and see what happens. Why didn't we stand up? Why didn't we put, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about ritual. Sometimes we get in a ritual, and listen, Vance Havner said a ritual's really just a rut. And a rut's really just a grave with both ends knocked out. And that's exactly what ritual do for you. Ritual will take the life right out of it. But I'm glad this morning that when the Sabbath ended, it brought the end of ritualistic worship. I'm glad this morning, like the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, listen to this, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know something, we don't have to be in a temple to worship the Lord. We don't have to be in a church to worship the Lord. It is a blessing when we meet. It is commanded by the Lord. You see it honored. Listen, one of my favorite verses is found in Revelation chapter number 1, where you see the Son of God walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Those golden candlesticks represent the local church, that individual church. And there's a royal guest who walks among the people of God when the body of Christ, when that body, that local body, assembles together. There's someone among us. He's unseen, but he's not unimportant. I'm glad the Lord is present. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Listen, we've gathered here this morning as we do every Lord's Day. And listen, it's to worship the living Savior. We've not come to have a memorial service and honor someone who don't exist anymore. We've come to worship the Lord who's alive and well. Church, He lives forevermore. Like one fella said it, I can't remember his name. Lester Roloff said he's not even taking medicine. He's not even on the verge of being sick. He's alive. And beloved, He's alive forevermore. Our children need to know that we have a God who's alive. These little ones need to know that the God we serve is not dead, but He lives, and He lives forevermore. Oh, God, deliver us from ritualistic worship. God, deliver us. Let us recognize that the risen Savior put an end to that. He put a period at that. He said, it's done with, it's finished. I'm alive, and wherever my people are, they can worship me. You can worship Him on the job. You can worship Him at the school. You can worship Him at home. You can worship Him wherever you go, because wherever you go, if you're a believer, that's exactly where He is. Your body's the temple in which He dwells. He lives among you. He lives within you, and He's worthy of all of our worship. He brought an end to ritualistic worship. Let me say quickly, number three, in the end of the Sabbath. The ending of the Sabbath brought not only the end of dead religion and the end of ritualistic worship, but it also brought the end of a rule of bondage. A rule of bondage. These dear people were in great bondage. It was bondage that made life miserable. I'm told by some of the early writers, the historians that wrote about these things, said that the common Jew, the average Jew, hated what was going on at the temple. They had such a hatred for the goings on, the corruption, and the taking advantage of people, and all the things that was going on. They hated it. They despised it. They got to the place where the demands that were made on them were so great and so wrong that they just almost revolted, although to them it would be revolting against God. And so they continued under this bondage, a bondage that our Lord said your fathers couldn't bear, let alone the ones you're trying to enforce it on now. It was so heavy and so great. You know, when the Lord Jesus got out of that grave, when the reality of the resurrection dawned on His followers, when they realized that He is alive and we are redeemed and our sins are forgiven, the bondage that they had been in all those years suddenly was broken. The book of Galatians is written to a group of people who tried to get back under what God had brought them out from under. The book of Galatians is, I mean, you read the whole book. The whole book is about letting people know that the rule of the law had been broken in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The handwriting of ordinances that were against us were nailed to His cross, and they've been taken away. We're no longer lawbreakers. We don't have to be law keepers because we've been liberated through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've been raised to a higher law, a higher rule. I'm not ruled by commandments, but a constraint of love in my heart for the one who loved me and gave Himself for me and shed His blood to wash and make me clean. I'm now compelled, like Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. I'm now moved to serve Him, not out of obligation, but out of devotion. I'm now liberated to do as I please. And as a believer, I do what I want to do because I please the Lord Jesus Christ. He's changed my want to. When I pastored in Nova Scotia, Canada, there was a man I had come preach for me. I didn't know him. He came on good recommendation. And so I said, "Brother, preach for us." Brother Gilbert, he got up and the first words out of his mouth made me almost have a heart attack right in the pew. He said, "You know, folks, I just want to tell you that I drink all the liquor that I want to drink." And I went, "Oh Lord, what have I done?" And then he said, "I run with all the women that I want to run with." And I thought, well, I'm looking around about this time and I'm thinking, well, that brother will help me and that brother will help me and we'll put him out the door. And then he got real quiet and he had us all listening. He said, "But you know, since I got saved, God changed my want to. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Listen, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." Listen, when you get born again, God changes your want to. And you want to not because you have to. You want to because you get to. You want to because you love Him. You love Him because He first loved you. What liberty there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He broke that rule of bondage. I feel sorry for folk that got just enough salvation to make them miserable. They're just in enough to be a little bit in bondage and a whole lot in misery. And all they do is they got to do this and they got to do that. And I have to and I have to. Listen, beloved, I get to serve the Lord. I get to live for Him. I get to read my Bible. I get to pray and talk to God. I get to go to church and worship with the Lord's people. What a joy it is to be set free in Jesus Christ. A lot of our Baptist churches are setting full of folk in bondage. Just setting full of individuals who are trying the best they can in the energy of the flesh to do what you can only do in the power of the Spirit of God. Right. And they're laboring and they're, listen, Christian burnout is a real thing because of confusion of what the Bible says. I mean, listen, if it's all on your shoulders, you're going to get worn out pretty quick. But I'm glad there's one who loved me and gave Himself for me And for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And listen, Paul said it like this, nevertheless I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Listen, salvation's about Jesus living in you. What only can be done as you yield yourself to Him. It's not about me trying harder to do better. It's about me yielding that He might do more and surrendering myself to Him. When Jesus got up out of that grave, He broke the rule of bondage and He set His people free. He set us free. How grateful we ought to be this morning that the Lord Jesus set us free. I know people that don't understand drive by the building. Probably some drove by this morning and said, look at those people. How miserable their life must be. What are they doing at church at 6:45 on a Sunday morning? I mean, what bondage. But what they don't understand is that the real prison is the one they're living in. They're slaves to sin. They're literally slaves to sin. Listen, if you ever realize, if it ever dawns on you that the Lord Jesus died to set you free, you'll fall at His feet and say, Lord, I'll serve You all the days of my life. I read the story of a very wealthy man who was so opposed to slavery, but realized that he could literally do nothing politically about it, but he made it his mission in life to buy as many slaves as possible and then set them free. One young man who was put on the auction block was defiant, and he would scream at the people who bid upon him. And when this man began to bid, he yelled at him, I'll never serve you. And as he began to scream and curse and oppose this man's bidding, his price went higher and higher and higher. As the others around him began to realize that this young man could be valuable, and they would bid, and the price went higher, higher, until it was almost unbelievable, the price of this young slave. And finally, this very wealthy man gave the highest bid, and he was sold. And this slave began to spit in his direction and say, I'll never serve you. And as he made his way under force to the table where the papers were signed, this man signed the papers of ownership. And as this man began to tremble in his chains and cry out, I hate you, I'll never serve you, this man turned to him and gave him those papers of freedom and said, listen, I didn't buy you to serve me. I bought you to set you free. And listen, he began to tremble as he thought about the reality that I'm free. I'm a free man. He said, take the chains off of him. He's free. Remove those bondage, those things around his ankles. Take those off. This man is free. And he gave the papers over to him and said, young man, you're now free. And that young man just began to weep, and his heart was broken in two, and he fell on his knees and he said, sir, because you bought me, I'll serve you, I'll serve you, I'll serve you. And listen, if you'll ever realize that on Calvary's hill, there was one that paid the ultimate price. He didn't pay the price for you to serve Him. He paid the price to set you free. He bought you to redeem you from the jaws of the enemy, to keep you out of hell, to put your sin debt away. And now, my friend, He set you free. And the only reaction of grace ought to be humble submission. Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You for dying for me. Lord, I'll serve You all the days of my life because of what You've done on my behalf. He bought you to set you free. The resurrection brings an end to dead religion, an end to ritualistic worship, and an end to a rule of bondage. The Bible says in the end of the Sabbath, watch old man Sabbath as he limps off with the rising of the sun. But don't look too long, because you're not missing his absence. Look over yonder at the garden tomb and realize that the risen Lord says, I am He that was dead, but behold, I'm alive and I live forevermore. We serve a risen Savior. I'm glad He brought an end to some things. Boy, the day He saved me, He put an end to a whole lot of stuff. And if you're here this morning and you've never been born again, can I encourage you to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ? Flee to Him. Flee to Him. Wrath is coming, but Jesus is merciful and mighty to save. Rest. Find your rest. Find what rest there is in the Lord Jesus. I'm not trying to be a Christian. He made me one. In the Lord Jesus, run to Him, flee to Him. And beloved, listen this morning as a believer, rejoice in the fact that God put an end. He put an end to that dead religion. Don't try to get back into what He got you out of. He put an end to ritualistic worship. Folks, we don't have to light candles and set the mood and do all of that. We've got a Lord who's alive, who hears our prayers, who receives our praise. And let's be lavish in giving it to Him. And then, beloved, He put an end not only to that ritualistic worship, but He put an end to that rule of bondage. We're free, not to live to please ourselves, but to live to please God. May that be our highest aim, that I live every day to please the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Pastor, you come close the service as you see fit.